إن هذا كان لكم جزاء وكان سعيكم مشكورا. Indeed, this is a reward of your deeds, and your effort has been accepted. The implication of this verse is that after receiving all these blessings, their Almighty will praise them in these words. The righteous will be rewarded because of their own deeds and will not need the efforts and recommendations of others to be given these favors. Concealed in these words is a slant on people who, by relying on the intercession of their alleged deities, remained indifferent to reward and punishment, even though none of them will be of any benefit to them when the time comes. إِنَّا نَحْنُ نَزَّلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْقُرْآنَ تَنْزِيلًا فَاصْبِرْ لِحُكْمِ رَبِّكَ وَلَا تُطِعْ مِنْهُمْ آثِمًا أَوْ كَفُورًا. We alone have revealed this Quran to you in an elaborate manner. So, with perseverance, wait for the judgment of your Lord and pay no heed to any sinner or ingrate among them. These verses occur in this surah with exactly the same purpose and stress as the following verse of Surah Al-Qiyamah. لَا تُحَرِّكْ بِهِ لِسَانَكَ لِتَعْجَلَ بِهِ. Or, to swiftly learn it, do not hastily move your tongue to read it. Surah number 75, verse 16. The purpose and stress is that once the fate of the believers and the disbelievers has been stated, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is asked to show patience and to wait for the decree of the Almighty. He should carry out his duties with perseverance and wait for God's judgment. Whatever the Quran is informing these people shall necessarily manifest itself. The verse Inna nahnu nazzalna alayka al-Qur'ana tanzila addresses the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and tells him that he has not authored the Quran and presented it to people, nor has he asked God to send it down to him, so that it is his responsibility to prove the truths and premises it presents and to make people see the realities it presents. The fact of the matter is that it is the Almighty who has revealed it to him in an elaborate and profound manner. One should keep in mind the stress sounded by the words Inna nahnu, or it is we. The implication is that when the Almighty has revealed the Quran to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he should not worry about the opposition and idle talk of people. It is the responsibility of the Almighty to deal with these people, and He is sufficient to do this. The emphasis sounded by the word Tanzeel is that this Quran is not a request put forth by its presenter, nor is it something baseless which will disappear into nothingness because of the animosity of people. On the other hand, it has been comprehensively and thoroughly revealed by the Almighty. Every single word of it will come true both in this world and in that to come. In the section of the verse, فَاصْبِرْ لِحُكْمِ رَبِّكَ, the preposition la after فَاصْبِرْ shows that the latter word encompasses the meaning of wait in it. The implication is that when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has not demanded that such a book be sent down to him, why is he worried about the objections and demands of the people? His responsibility, which he should keep on discharging, is only to communicate this book to them and wait for the judgment of the Almighty. He should not in the least worry about the demand of these wretched and worthless people regarding being shown the punishment that the Quran is warning them of. The word tuthir here means paying heed. I have explained this shade of its meaning elsewhere. In Surah Alaq, it has been used in this very meaning in the following verse. كَلَّا لَا تُطِعْ وَاسْجُدْ وَاقْتَرِبْ. Or, do not pay heed to him and bow down in prostration and draw near. Surah 96, verse 19. Consider next the words آثِمًا أَوْ كَفُورًا. In verse 3 occur the words شَاكِرْ and كَفُور. Verse 3 reads, إِنَّا هَدَيْنَاهُ السَّبِيلَ إِمَّا شَاكِرًا وَإِمَّا كَفُورًا. Or, we showed him the path. It is now up to him to be grateful or ungrateful. Here, Asiman occurs as an opposite to Shakir. The word Asim is used for the person who usurps the rights of others. These rights are of two types, rights of God and rights of fellow human beings. The word Kafura is used for the person who usurps the rights of God, and the word Asiman is used for the person who usurps the rights of his fellow human beings. These two attributes are generally inseparable, for a person who usurps the rights of his fellow human beings will never be the one who fulfills the rights of the Almighty. However, there are differences in the inclinations and proclivities of people. This malady manifests itself in people in various forms. In some, it produces stinginess, greed, and callousness, which make them an enemy of virtue. In some others, it produces egotism, selfishness, and arrogance, which stop them from bowing down before the truth. In the Quraysh, we find characters of both these types in the persons of Abu Lahab and Abu Jahl, respectively. Keeping both these characters in consideration come the words, وَلَا تُطِعْ مِنْهُمْ آثِمًا أَوْ كَفُورًا, and explain to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that his adversaries are of two types. Either they are those caught in the lust and greed of worldly pleasures and as such have become his enemies, or are the ones who have been overcome by egotism, which is not letting them acknowledge the truth. Both these types of people are not worthy of paying heed to. Their malady has no remedy. وَاذْكُرِ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ بُكْرَةً وَأَسِيلًا وَمِنَ اللَّيْلِ فَاسْجُدْ لَهُ وَسَبِّحْهُ لَيْلًا طَوِيلًا, and remember the name of your Lord from dawn to dusk, and prostrate yourselves before Him in the night, and glorify Him till late at night. The previous verse urges people to be patient. These verses now prescribe the way to be patient. The words dawn to dusk are all-encompassing, and remembrance is used in the general sense and includes the daily prayers as well as various general utterances for remembering God. The words وَسَبِّحْهُ لَيْلًا طَوِيلًا, or and glorify Him till late at night, refer to the Tahajjud prayer. Details of this prayer are found in preceding surahs, especially Surah Muzzammil. إِنَّ هَٰؤُلَاء يُحِبُّونَ الْعَاجِلَ وَيَذَرُونَ وَرَاءَهُمْ يَوْمًا ثَقِيلًا. These people only love this world of immediate benefits and ignore a heavy day that is to come. Here, an assurance is sounded to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam by informing him of the real malady of his opponents. These people are merely trying to cover up the reality by raising doubts on his preaching. Their real malady is that they are slaves to worldly pleasures and do not have the courage to give up these pleasures, which are immediate as compared to those of the hereafter. However hard the day of judgment may be, they raise some artificial objections about it in order to conceal their lust for this world. By doing so, they actually want to give the impression to their people that if they are not accepting the Prophet's message, it is not because of stubbornness and selfishness. It is rather because of some genuine reasons. نَحْنُ خَلَقْنَاهُمْ وَشَدَدْنَا أَسْرَهُمْ وَإِذَا شِئْنَا بَدَّلْنَا أَمْثَالَهُمْ تَبْدِيلًا. We alone created them and strengthened their joints, and whenever we intend, we will replace them in exactly the same form they are in. This verse sounds a threat to the Prophet's adversaries as well as answers their greatest objections about the Day of Judgment. Their greatest doubt mentioned in the Quran is about the possibility of being recreated when they die, and their remains decay into dust. The verse says that the Almighty has created man, and He alone has strengthened their joints and muscles. When He has done all this, which they cannot deny, why can't He repeat this act when He wants to? When initial creation was not a bother for Him, how can it become difficult for Him a second time? The words Shadda Asra mean to strongly mold joints and tissues together, and the words Baddalna Amthalahum Tabdila point to the fact that it is in the power of the Almighty to recreate these very joints and tissues they have been given in this world. إِنَّ هَذِهِ تَذْكِرَ فَمَنْ شَاءَ أَتَّخَذَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِ سَبِيلًا. This is a reminder, so whoever wishes, he should take the path of his Lord. This verse is an expression of God's self-sufficiency. This reminder which is being sounded to them is merely for their own well-being and sympathy. Neither is there any personal benefit for God nor some personal motive for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in it. It is on the discretion of people to accept it and adopt the path that leads to God. Otherwise, they should get ready to face the consequences this book is informing them of. وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلِيمًا حَكِيمًا يُدْخِلُ مَن يَشَاءُ فِي رَحْمَتِهِ وَالظَّالِمِينَ أَعَدَّ لَهُمْ عَذَابًا أَلِيمًا. And you will not wish until God wishes. Indeed, God is all-knowing, wise. He admits into His mercy whomever He wishes, and for the wrongdoers He has prepared a grievous punishment. This is a reference to the established practice of God regarding the urge a person has in embracing faith. I have explained it at various places in this tafsir. All works of the Almighty are based on His knowledge and wisdom. He blesses only that person with the will and urge to seek guidance who uses his higher faculties and values his innate awareness of good and evil, to which verses 2 and 3 of this surah refer. As for people who waste these abilities and become blind and deaf, they never receive guidance. For them, the Almighty has prepared hell. They will be cast into it because they made themselves worthy of this treatment by wronging their souls. God Almighty is knowing and wise. He is never unjust to His servants. With the grace of God, I come to the end of this surah's tafsir. فَالْحَمْدُلِلَّهِ عَلَىٰ إِحْسَانِ, or gratitude be to God for His favor. Lahore, 13th February 1979 AD, 15th Rabiul Awwal, 1399 AH.